name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Thanks for slowing down for a moment to listen to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Leonard Snart. Josh, nice to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's feeling chilly in here. Are you feeling that?
Yeah. I mean, you've been giving me the cold shoulder all week.
Well, that's what happens, Captain. But, hey, you know what? As an audience, you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash. We will have discussion and, of course, some commentary on the various episodes of The Flash. And this week, my good friend Leonard, also known as Jay, we are going to cover the latest episode. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Well, this episode, we are going rogue. It is the fourth episode of Season 1, airing on October 28th, 2014, written by Jeff Johns and Kai Yu Wu, who is a new name to the CW writing panel that we've seen here for Arrow and Flash, and directed by, get this, Glenn Winter. Yeah, it's a Captain Cold episode, and they got Glenn Winter. I didn't know if they planned that or if it was just his turn, but that was serendipity.
I'm sure they looked everywhere just for a guy named Winter so he could direct an episode.
Well, he was on the set, but then like he would disappear, and then when he would come back, they go, "Hey, Winter is coming." And then people got confused because they thought they were shooting a Game of Thrones episode. So anyway, on this episode, you need to power up your operation game, break out the ping pong paddles, because Barry is practicing his multitasking skills. He could learn some tips on doing more than one thing at a time from his friend Felicity Smoke, who has come to visit Barry while taking a break from her duties helping the Arrow over in Starling City. They seem like they might be getting close to each other again until, that is, Leonard Snart puts that idea on ice. You see, Snart's after a rare diamond. The ice villains are always going after the diamonds, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's ice.
It is ice. And his brains and ingenuity could be enough to accomplish this goal. That is until the Flash interferes, because now it's time to pull out the big guns. Or should I say, the cold guns. Because Snart's going to use a recently stolen frozen weapon to get that diamond and really slow down our speedy hero. Barry will need more than multitasking to get him out of this mess. He's going to need multiple people. Why didn't he use multiplex? That would have been a good... Anyway, on his multi-talented team to put an end to this long winter.
You know, it was a chilly episode, but I loved it. Man, I'm so excited about this one. This show just keeps getting better and better.
This, in my opinion, and granted it's only been four episodes, but this was the best episode, and this was the best villain that they've had so far.
Completely agree.
Best villain by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, much... well, this is someone you could easily have a recurring role, which is completely appropriate, because you got to have Captain Cold around.
Yes.
So, but let's talk a little bit about some news before we get into this particular episode. The first bit of news, a little bit of bad news. Next week, no Flash.
Aww.
Well, at least no new Flash.
No new Flash, that's true.
No new Flash. There will be a rerun of Things You Can't Outrun, which was last week's episode. You know, they're taking a little break. Next week is going to be quite busy. I suppose, you know, lots of... I don't know, election things going on next week. But in the meantime, if you watch the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or, of course, the show Arrow, which I hope you do, closely ties to The Flash, make sure you check out the podcast that we do for those on randomchatter.com.
And then some more information came in about the premiere. I know it's been 4 weeks, they did have a couple of reruns, but... The Flash pilot is CW's most watched telecast in the network's history. So in the live plus 7-day Nielsen ratings, they had 6.8 million viewers. And so, you know, that was one of the reasons why they decided finally to go ahead and give them an extra, what was it, 6 episodes. So they're up to the 22, you know, season order now for this. Mm-hmm. And the drop-off for the episodes, for each episode, is very little. This show is more popular at the start than I think Arrow was at the time that it came out. And, you know, we're in this whole golden age of superheroes on television and in films and stuff like this. And, I mean, I think this show really is hitting a nerve. It's just, it's got that positive outlook. It's a fun and it's light, but it's got all the elements of superhero things that people are looking for. It's got colorful costumes and super villains and super weapons and superpowers and...
I am biased, of course, especially when it comes to The Flash. But everything that you said is true. And in addition, it really kind of jumped right in. And while I really love Arrow as well, it took a while for it to really get going as an Arrow show. You know, there was a lot of deep story that they had to kind of get into to establish him being... What we'll say, Green Arrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then this one didn't. It just jumped right in. You got metahumans right away. You got superpowers, and that's
and the red streak,
and the red streak. Yes,
I'm thinking of calling myself the and then he gets interrupted. So
I think that they need to change the name to Streak really soon because I just picture him flying through the city, running through the city, and his clothes just peeling off of him.
Oh, that'd be good.
Well, you know what? I think one of the reasons that they have done so well in the ratings is promotion. You know, all summer long, of course, and then you got all your Comic Cons and conventions, everything. And speaking of promotion, here's a good way to get some promotion done for free. You tell the audience to do it for you. And this week on the show, they had a commercial for a promotion that you can do right at home is called the Flash Recap. What they want you to do is in 15 seconds, summarize the latest episode of The Flash, and then post it on Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, Vine, Tumblr with the hashtag In a Flash. So hashtag all one word in a flash summarize in a video in 15 seconds what the show is about. Now, it's not a contest. They're not giving away any prize. But, of course, these days for a lot of people, the prize is exposure, you know, socializing with the world.
Yeah, you don't want to have exposure with this villain. I mean, that like will lead to frostbite.
Ooh, yeah, especially if you're known as the Streak. So if you're interested in that, like I said, you can post it on any of those social media places that I just listed. But you have to use the hashtag In a Flash. And they do recommend that you follow @CW_TheFlash on Twitter or the CW on Facebook because it makes it easier for them to use your information to promote to get a hold of you if they need you. So
I really want to do this. I hope they do this when they come back from their break because I when I saw the commercial, I was like, oh, I totally want to do that. And we actually – I think we had a couple of people on Twitter tweet the information at us as well saying, you know, these guys should be able to take care of it. But I was a little busy this week being Halloween week. I don't know what you were up to, but I was working on my Flash costume, which I have posted some pictures at the Facebook page now of my cardboard superhero like boxy looking Flash. I don't know what it's based off of a site called Box Heroes that I found where they do these square boxy versions of different superheroes, and they've got a whole set of Marvel characters they've done and a whole set of DC characters, and I was like, I'm going to do Arrow. And then I started looking at how complex that would be, and I'm like, I'm going to do the Flash because he has no props.
Well, these are really cool looking characters if you check them out, and if you kind of need to picture it in your head, just kind of picture, Minecraft Flash.
That is true. Some people have said that it's Minecraft kind of mixed with Lego, but without kind of the round heads. Everything's all square and cubical, cubist. I don't know. So we were having a little Halloween contest / parade at our office, and so I figured this would be appropriate, of course, because it's one of the shows we host here. So I hope you guys check out the photos that I posted on Facebook, and I'd like to hear people's comments on it. It was tiresome but very fun to put together.
Yeah, very much so. It looks fantastic. You did an amazing job. So, and speaking of Halloween, if you want to check out the photos of my Halloween pumpkins that were posted up there on Facebook, I did three Halloween pumpkins. They just happened to coincide with the three podcasts that we do.
Oh, so surprise!
There was a Green Arrow jack-o'-lantern and a Shield jack-o'-lantern, and of course, I don't want to leave out the Flash jack-o'-lantern. So.
When you put them Halloween in, was pretty what fun. I liked is you put them in order of the order that we started doing the shows too.
Yes, that actually wasn't a coincidence.
Oh, good, good.
It also kind of balanced out the DC Marvel too, I thought.
Oh, there you go. Yep, good idea.
So, all right, well, let's get into this episode because it was amazing and it was so much fun to watch. So I know it's going to be fun to talk about with you as always. Somebody kind of called us out, but was asking us, I think, on Facebook about the villain of the week, and so we'll talk about that in a little while. But let's talk about the villain of the week this week, because I'm not feeling like he was so much a weekly villain. It's the infamous Captain Cold, who is a long-standing Flash villain in the comics.
Yeah, he's one of the core villains, I would say, in what's called the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah, a lot of superheroes have their arch enemy, your Lex Luthor, your Joker, who everybody thinks of as their main bad guy to the good guy.
Yes.
But Flash doesn't have just one. He has the whole Rogues Gallery. Captain Cold is kind of the... the pseudo leader, I guess, of the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah, he's kind of the de facto leader,
right?
Yeah, I don't know if he was the first. I don't know if it's because he was the first villain that was created for the Flash, or if he just based on his personality, he just kind of ended up being in charge.
Yeah, it could be. His personality is always very, I want to say, a little arrogant in the in the comics, and I don't know, this episode. It didn't seem. Didn't seem to be too much different. He was a very arrogant guy.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the things I really liked about him is that he is not a metahuman.
Not at this point.
No.
Which
no.
is interesting.
Now, I was a little. Nah, I don't want to say worried. I would have been a little skeptical if he was a metahuman, at least right now. Because I've always pictured Captain Cold as, the guy with the gun, and the cool glasses and the parka, of course.
Parka, right.
now in the New 52, that's actually not the case.
Right. I was going to say, so in the classic versions of this character, he had a gun. Like the Weather Wizard had a weather wand. They were not actually metahumans, but... Right. In the New 52 version, there actually was a change to these characters, and they were able to – there was a device from Star Labs that they all put their their weapons in, and then this device gave them the powers of their weapons, so they didn't have to use the gun or the wand or whatever it was.
The mirror.
The mirror, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, from Mirror
Master. And it kind of backfired on some of them.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing, being able to use mirrors, but you can only be appearing in a mirror. But
and if I remember correctly in the comic books, this was all Snart's idea, right?
I think so, because...
To transfer their weapons as powers.
Yeah, they were hanging... I can't remember what led up to it. It was in the early run of the current Flash, which is up... It's in the mid-30s now, I think. And this was back in the teens or maybe even a little bit before that. I seem to recall them all talking in a bar because every time they get... I think it was every time they got arrested, their weapons would be confiscated. And it was... You know, well, wouldn't it be easier if we just didn't have the weapons, if we were just, you know, had the powers instead? And so they, one thing led to another.
Yeah, and, you know, and this isn't about the comic books, you know, as much as this episode. But I almost wish they would have taken a lot longer to get to that point where they got those powers. But I think that's kind of where comics are going right now. But I like that in this one, he is not a metahuman. He is using the gun. And he even has the parka and the goggles. I mean, they did it. I really think they did it right. So I agree with you. This is the best villain so far.
And it's just now, because he can there's so much more that he can do. I mean, the fact, you know, they didn't catch him at the end. So, you know, they haven't put him in the they wouldn't need a metahuman prison, right? They would just take the gun away.
I'd have thought about that. Do you think that if they catch him, which I guess eventually they probably will, but do you think they'll put him in that prison, or you think they'll hand him over to the cops?
I think they would probably just hand him over to the CCPD, but...
Yeah. That's what I would think, too, because...
I don't think they would waste the space in their Star Labs prison.
No. And also, plus it opens a lot of possibilities for him to escape and, mm-hmm. and you know, be a bad guy again.
Right.
So I guess the one, the one characteristic that they gave to Leonard Snart that kind of stands out and helps him to not have to be a metahuman is just his incredible ingenuity and intelligence of knowing how to do things. So he can really... prepare ahead of time, and he knew what he would need to do in order to defeat Barry, in order to defeat the Flash, mm-hmm. Using that gun. You know, a thug, just some guy that gets this gun, he's not going to be able to do that. It wouldn't be believable if he, you know, defeated the Flash like he actually did in this one, if it was just some random guy. So I like how they kind of push that up. Pushed his intelligence up to make him smart, and they demonstrated that right at the beginning by establishing the character and showing that the failed robbery of the armored truck, and he was very precise in his calculations.
The other thing that I liked about the character, and I'm trying to remember if this is how he's been typified in the comic books, I don't really recall a specific issue with Captain Cold that, you know, stands out to me or anything like that, but how he really was anti-killing, except, you know, like, you know, if there's no other choice, he would take a life, but, you know, he'd rather just go in and, like you said, use his brains and figure out how to do this so that, you know, there's the least amount of breakage, basically, the least amount of damage, no one gets hurt, and, you know, I'll just go and take what I want to take and do, you know, go on my way.
Right. And I think, I don't know that I got that from this character in the show. Although it was more of just kind of an efficiency for him, you know, he wouldn't kill unless it really kind of worked out for his plans, but he still would kill. He didn't really have any regrets or second thoughts about killing. You know, killed the guy that wanted to get out,
right.
Killed his arms dealer. But he didn't automatically go after the other two minions that were trying to get out. And he very easily could have.
Right. And like when they were robbing the armored car at the beginning, he didn't just go in to kill the guards. Like, he figured out, you know, another way to do it. Like, he did shoot and wound one of them. But, you know, I mean, he's doing what he needs for the situation, but it's interesting to actually have the characterization of a villain type character, an antagonist character, that, you know, is not just like, oh, you know, they're just going to go to the furthest extreme possible. So if they have the opportunity, you know, they'll take a life, or, you know, they'll kick a puppy or whatever.
Oh, if the puppy was guarding that diamond, I think he would have done it.
But, he probably would have, yeah.
Now, I also kind of thought it was interesting, and this may have just been kind of a coincidence, but I don't know, maybe not. His intelligence and ability to figure out exactly what he needed to get the job done, I thought it was interesting that it kind of was an evil mirror image of Felicity Smoke's abilities. And so Felicity appeared in this episode, and you know, she is like that. She's able to hack into things and see exactly what she needs very, very efficiently and quickly. And again, that may have just been a coincidence, but it was just kind of the interesting comparison of two characters on the good and the bad side of on how they were so brilliantly able to figure out exactly what they needed to do.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Felicity, to me in this episode, actually was a little distracting. While I think she fits well with the characters, and you know, obviously appears to be a great match for Barry, though, as they discuss it. The end of the episode, that you know, they both seem to want things that they can't have. It was a really interesting revelation for her to actually be saying that not on the show that she's normally on, which is where all these issues come up. But I may get hate mail for this, but I feel she was like the worst part of the episode to me.
I don't disagree with you. It didn't taint the episode for me at all, but I agree with you as far as everything else fitting together. She wasn't really necessary. Mm-hmm. I almost felt like they were just kind of trying to put some closure on the relationship that Barry and she had in the Arrow episode back last season.
Right.
But I think it probably will also establish another connection with them later on when there's the crossover, which, you know, that's just me guessing, but I don't disagree with you. She felt a little forced in this episode,
you know, and they just, you know, they kind of went to all the basic Felicity tropes. You know, she speaks before she thinks, so you know, she makes these what appear to be inappropriate kind of comments about she wants to see the thing, and by the thing she means the speed, not anything else that you're thinking of. And,
that's my favorite line, though.
You know, Cisco's like, I could hack. I'm going to hack into this, whatever it is, the network, but it's going to take me like 30 minutes. She's like, oh, I can do this real quick. I mean, and literally, like, I might have even, if it was 10 seconds, I'd be surprised. She's like, oh, I'm in. You know, so it was played for, you know, the comedy and what people expect. And then, you know, like, my wife walks in right at the scene in the at the trivia event at the the coffee house, and she comes in that black dress, you know, all sexy and stuff like that. My wife's like, why do they keep dressing her like that? And I'm like, you know, nerd rage and stuff like that. People get really upset when they don't dress her like that. But my wife is basically commenting that, you know, it feels like they're forcing her to be sexier than, you know, she should be. And I think we got this comment on our Arrow podcast from one of the listeners about how they were not a big fan of Felicity, just because it seems like she's being forced down her throats. And on that show, she fits in, I feel, with all the other characters and has space. But here, she definitely stood out, I think. Maybe that's what it is. She just stood out as being just too much or something. I don't know. But, I mean, I enjoyed the scenes that she was in, and, you know, as far as, like, that, when I say that's also the worst part of the entire episode, I mean, you know, she may be getting, like, a 70, while every other part of the episode gets, like, a 90. You know, it's still passing, right? It's not a...
Yeah, really so like great. I said, it wasn't a bad part of the episode, but it wasn't entirely necessary. I do think that it was good that they used her, though, as kind of an outside observer of what Barry really ultimately needed to kind of see, is that you know, he needed other people. He needed to work with his team. And she has, you know, evidence to support that claim because she works really closely with the team with Oliver Queen and everybody on Team Arrow. And so, you know, that character can give Barry the necessary understanding that, you know, he can't do this all on his own. And right. you need these other people to help you and keep an eye on you and make sure that, you know, she was asking them, you know, is he going to – what else is happening to him? Is he going to be okay or is his right. changing? You know, she was asking all these good questions. So, again, I agree. And I hope they're careful because they could really kind of wear out Felicity's welcome. It's a popular character because of these quirky things that she does on Arrow. And on this Flash, but you can go too far, you know, you can burn out on it. So, and I like her too much. I don't want him to do that. So I agree with you. But she served a few purposes and she did have some pretty funny lines. So it is also possible that, during the crossover episodes that, you know, she needed to know about Barry's powers before that episode, and this is how she found out. So I like the way he showed her on that. But all right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the other people on Flash's team. So do we have an official name for Flash's team? Team Flash just doesn't fit. Everybody calls it Team Arrow on Arrow, but I don't know. It almost feels not like a team so much as something else.
Yeah, I mean, they're like a... They're a collective or something. I don't know. That's interesting.
The Flash
collective. I haven't thought about it enough because they aren't really – they're working together but not really working together yet. So maybe that's why I haven't thought about it too much.
Well, and the reason I ask because I think that was really important in this episode. I think it was kind of one of the main themes in this because at the very beginning, Barry is practicing a lot of multitasking. You know, he's playing the operation game with Caitlin, which was pretty funny. She was getting so frustrated with that. And then he had ping pong with Cisco, and then he was playing chess with Dr. Wells. And then was he doing something else? Was he running too, just on the treadmill? Or
I think it was just running back and forth between all the things there. So.
And then later on in the episode, you know, after he was kind of mad at Cisco, who we'll talk about in a second here, but he turned him off. He turned off the team. He disconnected the team and tried to do everything on his own, which proved to be really almost deadly for him. Mm-hmm. And they had to come to his rescue. Thanks to Felicity. So he was doing all that multitasking, feeling like he was so powerful he could do it all on his own. But I think this episode really shows how he can't do it all on his own. He needs his friends. He needs his team, you know, team E equals MC Hammer. Right. No, not that team, different team.
I can't touch this.
So what do you think? Do you think that's kind of the main lesson he was learning here?
Well, yeah, it seems like there were a lot of different lessons that he was learning in this one, and that he has been learning, because as we've discussed, he's also learning how to be a hero in that. So you've got that aspect. You've definitely got this teamwork aspect, because nobody else really understands his powers except maybe Harrison Wells. And Barry doesn't understand his limitations or his powers. So, you know, he needs this crew of Harrison and Caitlin and Cisco to look out for him and, you know, just help him understand what he can do and how he can do it and how to work to be a better person. Barry, the other lesson I think Barry was learning in this is that you can't, and this is an ongoing lesson for each episode too, is you can't save everybody. Even as fast as you are,
right,
you will not be able to save everybody. And I mean, I think it's something that, you know, police officers and firemen and other rescue personnel and stuff, they, you know, those kind of heroes in our day-to-day lives, they have to come to grips with things like this as well, that there are going to be times when you know, you have to make a choice about who you can help, and you have to realize that you might not be able to help everybody. And Barry learned that,
that's, you right.
know, in a very tearful second act here in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something he also was learning with the Mist, you know. And he learned that in this one, but I also think he kind of threw that message of life, a little message from himself, because in the end, in the train wreck, he did save everybody. So I think it was kind of a balance between saying, look, yeah, you know what? Maybe I can't save everybody unless I really push my powers to the limit. And I can save more than you think I can. And I don't even think Captain Cold thought he'd be able to save everybody, and he knew he would try.
Right.
Which was, by the way, my favorite scene of maybe any superhero TV show ever, that train crash.
That was pretty cool. Well, and also going back to talking about how intelligent Captain Cold is, I mean, he's seen Barry on just a couple occasions here, but he's already, you know, figured out that, oh, you know, this guy's weakness is his, you know, that he cares for the citizenry around him. So, of course, oh, well, I'll just use that to my advantage. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was really, really figuring out that he's going to need these people, which I think is, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a change from the comic book character. I can't really remember the comic book character needing a team of people much. I mean, he had friends, and he had friends that knew he was the Flash, but...
Yeah, I mean, he interacts with, you know, people at work or other superheroes or Iris or something like that.
Yeah.
But other than him...
So that's a little different.
Yeah, other than him working with the Justice League, I mean, and that's not really needing a team. It's just, you know, working as a team, I guess, so...
No, but it does kind of harken back to the 90s series in The Flash, because he was always working with, you know, Tina McGee.
Yes.
They were helping each other. So, and also, you know, I want to include in that team Joe West.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he's not with Star Labs, he really was a part of it. And he helped identify Snart, which was kind of cool, too, the way he was looking through those mug shots.
Yeah, he's like, here, look at these mug shots. And, you know, what is it, like 3 seconds later, Barry's like, yeah, here you go. It's like, wow, that was cool.
That was awesome. So, well, one of the members of his team, Cisco, he's...
Poor Cisco.
He's been having a bit of a run of bad luck here.
Yeah.
so he got the cold gun and some other things, apparently, stolen from Star Labs. Boy, yeah, he really did screw up. I would have been mad at him, too. I mean, there is, like, practically nobody left at Star Labs. How do you not notice some janitor leaving with stuff?
Right. Especially two big cases like that, so... Yeah, Harrison Wells was really upset. I mean, he was, like, he's got that kind of quiet anger where it's like, you know, there's some people that, you know, they're angry at you because they're shouting at you.
Right.
And then there are those people that when they get angry, they get really quiet and they pissed.
And the fact that, you know, he just doesn't seem to show that anger very often. So he's one of those guys, you know, that if you... If he looks mad, you know he's really mad.
Yeah.
And I think also Cisco felt a little bit of shame.
Oh.
You know, he's had a lot of respect for Dr. Wells. So.
Yeah. In some instances, and I think we might have discussed this on the first episode, it's like Cisco's amazingly intelligent, yet it seems like he's also kind of like, you know, the teenager working at this place. Like, for as smart as he is, he's not. He doesn't pay attention to what's going on.
Right.
I don't know. You know, just a little flaky and stuff like that. I was afraid he was going to actually get shivved by Harrison Wells. There, it was, you know, it's like he's going to just pull out his knife and gut him.
Well, I'm glad that wasn't a big twist at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I I totally buy that. I've known a lot of smart yet very quirky people in my life, and I totally buy that with Sisko as a character.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't see, to me, it's a little off because usually when I see characters that are, you know, smart like that or people in real life, they're also a little socially awkward as well. And I don't know, Sisko's kind of got it together. It seems like he's hip. He knows what's happening.
Yeah, so far. But I could see that going another way real easily. So they could be writing this character in an awkward social situation. We really haven't seen him in any social situations other than with, you know, Caitlin and Barry and Dr. Wells. I mean, yeah. He hasn't really been with anybody. So, you know, maybe they go out on a town one night and he's very awkward with some girls, but I could see that happening real easily. So
would you say that you get a bad vibe from him? Maybe
I would say that because it would work very well as a future possible pun. So.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll put that in. We'll tack that up over here, yeah, and we'll come back to that later.
Stick a pin in that one.
Stick a pin in it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a couple more things I want to touch on, and then we have some feedback that I would like to share. But first of all, did you notice that the intro to this episode was actually a very generic intro. It was different than the ones we've seen, and it was a generic one that could probably use for every episode now.
So, I did not notice that exactly. Is this before this is the "My name is Barry Allen" part you're talking about?
Right. Right. And then
he did a personal piece.
He did. You know, "Lightning gave me friends." As a little play on the "Lightning gave me abs" comment.
Yes,
at the...
I did notice that. Yes.
but right before that, everything was very generic. It could have happened at any time.
Interesting.
So I've been noticing these intros because they're different each week. And,
yeah.
And I guess having watched Arrow where they change it each season, I kind of listen for that now. But so the intro was a little bit different, but I am guessing that it's not going to be too much different from here on out. For a while, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. We'll pay attention, I guess.
One other thing that I was just wondering about, and it even kind of started making me wonder about the comic book character. But now, does the Flash have any strengths, power? Has that ever really been specifically addressed, either in the comics or in any show? I mean, obviously he's got his abs and he's fit.
Yeah,
but
in the 90s he was really, really super muscular, like hyper muscular.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that was just out, style up, at the time. So
working out and beating up gorillas and stuff, yeah, will make you very fit.
I don't think that. No, I not in the same way that like Aquaman or Superman or even maybe Green Lantern is stronger than an average person. I don't think the Flash is necessarily stronger, but just think about the kinetics of his momentum and everything like that. I think that there is the element for, you know, because he's in motion, so when he moves in and grabs something, it tends to, you know, he has a little extra kick,
sure,
so to speak,
sure,
as when he punches or whatever.
And I thought about that too. The only thing I was thinking is that in several of the episodes he's carried people out of dangerous situations,
mm-hmm,
several times. And in this one he was taking the guard to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking that guard's huge, and people are not light. If you've ever tried to carry an adult, it's not easy.
No.
So I wondered about that. And you're right, the momentum and the speed would help with that. But you also got to be careful, you know, not to snap their neck or you know, when you grab them, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like physics, I'm sure we could do an entire episode trying to figure out exactly how that works. You know, when like somebody goes from, you know, like the I'm thinking of the couple that he saves at the top of the stairs in this episode that are about to be shot with the freeze ray.
Uh-huh.
So there are these two people walking. The freeze ray is going, and he just zips by and grabs them both. So there's two adults. But, I mean, like you said, yeah, will it snap their neck? I mean, they go from zero to however fast like that.
Well,
so.
And, hey, you know what? There's enough comic lore to to explain any of that stuff away. So it's certainly not taking away the enjoyment of the show from me by not having things that are necessarily believable in real life.
Right.
But, hey, maybe that's the Speed Force kind of protecting them, you know?
Right. Right. Which is interesting. That's something that's really big in the New 52 is the fact that there's this metaphysical force that's another law of nature or something that exists in a outside our realm of knowledge, I guess, called the Speed Force. And that's how he goes fast. He taps into that and uses it, and they have this whole crazy mythology about the Speed Force and the, you know, what it's done in the past and how it always has to choose somebody or something like that. This seems to be more of, you know, there's been a physical change with Barry Allen that causes him to be able to go fast. They haven't really, they haven't even intimated anything about the Speed Force at all, which is more nope. like the classic Flash character before they invented this Speed Force element to the mythology.
Right, right. And I am certainly not one that needs explanation on all these things.
You're happy to let it go.
With that. I am. Although it does open possibilities for the future if they need to start nudging the storyline towards something like that. That's fine too. I like the New 52 version of the Flash so far. You know, I'm a classic Flash reader, so I've got Golden Age and then more Modern Age, and now we've got New 52, and I've been a fan of all three.
Yeah.
You know what? I am with you, man. This was my favorite episode. The way that he saved the people in the train was, like I said, my favorite scene, and I think it shows you. Again, I think I might have even said this last week, but it shows you again how the superpower of super fast speed can really be used in a variety of different ways that can really help. It doesn't have to have that super strength like a Superman does, or I don't want to say like magical forces, but you know, a Green Lantern kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. The willpower.
So, willpower, of course. Yeah. And the effects were pretty good. I won't say they were flawless because there was a few little bits of that scene where I could tell he really wasn't saving people from a train. but you know what I mean? It wasn't flawless in there. But man, for a TV show, they're doing a phenomenal job. I can't say any bad things about him.
No, it looks great. I mean, you know, I like the way that they do the special effects with the speed because, you know, you can't just always show him running fast. The 90s series seemed to do that. They have, you know, they were just did like sped up motion, and obviously they have a lot of other tools to pull that off now. But we actually go to slow motion sometimes to see him accomplish things here. So I thought that was great, and that's just another way to make it visually interesting and, you know, communicate a lot of information. Because obviously if you have a guy zipping around fast, it's like he can do 3,000 things in the blink of an eye, like we were seeing at the beginning of the episode. And, you know, as an audience, we want to actually participate with Barry in his adventures. And so by going to slow motion, we actually can be there for all those little events.
Right, right. So beautifully done. So, well, but before we kind of wrap up, and there's some good references, I would like to share a little bit of feedback that we got this week because there's some really good comments that you guys are leaving out there
all
for
sorts
us
of stuff, yeah.
On Facebook and email. So that's great. But first of all, let's this is oh my gosh, I didn't write who this was from. But this was from the Facebook page. So we'll try to find that for you. But he says, I just watched the latest Arrow episode. It was pretty cool. Thought it was interesting that the cafe Oliver meets Thea in 21 minutes in. The grind and jolt is the same one from The Flash, in which it was instead called CC Jitters. So we got a little crossover here with those coffee places. So it was where they hold the trivia event in this episode. I found this interesting, and I wondered how much set sharing might go on. Any insights? Well, I certainly don't have any insights, although I think that would be worth, you know, checking out some insights. then maybe they could send us to the set and check it out.
Oh, hey, that'd be great. I'd love to. Yep.
But
sure.
But from what I've heard, they do film in a lot of similar locations, and I would imagine that they do share some of that stuff, especially generic things like this.
Yeah, I would think that. I mean, it seems to make sense. Usually, you don't see things repeated that quickly. And also, I think someone even had a coffee mug that said CC Jitters on it in the Arrow episode. And the fact that, you know, these shows are on back to the night after each other, or one's on the night after the other one. You know what I mean? And to do that is like, wow, didn't I just see this? And so it's kind of like it's the opposite of the crossover that we had with Felicity. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, and because they're so related, it doesn't bother me. But
yeah, now the thing is that they didn't even seem to really redress it too much either. And of course, you know, the two cities are not really close, as we found out. They're several hundred miles apart. So, but yeah, you know, I'm not, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it's a TV show. They've got to save some money. And you know.
I actually didn't even notice, but, but if I had, I'd be okay. But yeah. So, by the way, that was from Ken on our Facebook page. So
okay.
Thank you very much. He sent us that message. All right. So let's see. Hi, guys. My name is H. Keith, and I have been following Green Justice since the middle of the first season and am now following Scarlet Velocity as well. You guys give great insights into this show as well. So thank you very much. I'm writing to give you my theory on Dr. Harrison. Wonder if his middle initial is G. Wells. I think he could be Pariah. The man doomed to watch the crisis over and over in various different universes. Maybe he knows the Barry of this universe is the one man destined to stop the crisis once and for all, and that's why he's taking a hands-on approach to Barry's life. Just a thought. Keep doing what you're doing.
Interesting.
That is an interesting theory. That had not occurred to me, but that would fit.
Yeah, it has not occurred to me. It's so hard to say what they're doing with the show here, because I mean, this is an entirely different superhero take than like what they've been doing with Arrow, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the same universe of characters. I had seen someone else postulate this online. I think it was in a comment section of Comic Book Resources or some other site I was reading. It's an interesting idea, and I think it's cool that as fans, we can look at all of this sort of stuff and go, oh, you know what? That really reminds me of this issue that I read or this character that I like. I'm not sure that is the way that they're going for this, because it seems almost too esoteric for the sort of stories that get told. But
yeah.
Who knows? They always surprise us on Arrow, and I wouldn't be surprised to be surprised on The Flash here as well.
Right. And that's probably not my first guess, even though it does kind of fit. Now you mentioned it being kind of an esoteric character, but because of the way they're establishing Harrison Wells on this show, it may not be. You know, I mean, they could make it not so esoteric.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So that would work. I'm thinking it's probably someone a little bit more out there, a little bit more, I don't want to say obvious, because I'm not sure it's obvious, but just a character that might be a little bit more well-known even among comic book fans.
I would be happy if it was someone that, you know, that we're guessing that it's this person or that person. I'd be happy if it was, like, Harrison Wells. Like, it just is this guy, and he's got his own story that we just don't know yet. Because,
yeah, like just a brand new character.
Yeah, I mean, they use elements from different characters at different times and stuff like this, and I think it'd be really interesting to, you know, get a little more original character on here, which, you know, we're getting in some of these other characters, but they've got names that hearken us to think that maybe there's something else in store for them in the future.
Right.
So,
right.
And, of course, Harrison Wells shared... You know, I think he said something about that he predicts that there's good stuff going to be happening for Felicity at some point as well. Like, it sounded like he was just being hypothetical, but the words that he used, you know, knowing that he may have knowledge of the future, you know, really rung in my ears after he said that. So,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to finding out a little bit more where we can give a little bit more speculation that we can give credit to. But for now, it's fun to kind of think about so while they're establishing everybody. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, one more message from our email. This is from OC Alexander. And he says, or she, I am really enjoying your Flash podcast and thought your insights into the latest episode, Things You Can't Outrun, was really good, especially how this episode was as much about Team Flash, especially Caitlin, as it was about the Mist. It was also interesting to see that Barry is shown as a natural leader despite his geek demeanor, since he knows how to support and get the best from Caitlin and Cisco. One thing, though, I often hear people talk about the Flash and Arrow sometimes becoming the Villain of the Week shows. I wonder what viewers would like to see more of or instead of Villain of the Week episodes. Also, I note that the Flash actually is built on this. Where Smallville had Clark encountering random villains infected by kryptonite, the Flash is in part about the hunt for metahumans. And I haven't looked at any spoilers or show interviews, but it seems reasonable to think that some of the metahumans yet to be revealed might be superheroes, not villains, which might make for some interesting drama.
Good point.
Okay. Yeah, that is a good point. From what we think Caitlin's fiance might lead to. But
yeah.
As far as what people would like to see instead of Villain of the Week, I think, right now on TV and even in movies to some extent, people really like those continuing storylines, that the string of storylines that connect episodes than – go ahead.
I was going to say from my time watching The X-Files, Chris Carter, the showrunner for that series, always called those mythology episodes. So he broke his episodes down into two categories: Monster of the Week, which is what X-Files was originally known for, and then mythology episodes, which was the episode where they found out a little piece about something that was going on, and that became a larger mystery that they continued to just, kind of like a thread that you just kind of kept pulling on. And I enjoy seeing those. I like the Villain of the Week type shows as well, because sometimes you just need a break. I also like episodes that are called bottle shows. That's another style of show, and that usually takes place in one location. It's usually a budgetary reason for doing it. It involves very few characters, maybe just your normal cast and no guest stars, and maybe even just a few people from your regular cast, because those are always the shows, the bottle shows, where you get a ton of character development, because it's usually a lot of talking, characters interacting, and not a lot of special effects and set changes and things like that. So for me, I think it's as long as there's character-driven drama and insight into the characters and that don't contradict other episodes that we've seen, that's what I'm interested in, whether it's a Villain of the Week show or whether it's a bigger mythology show or whatever.
Right, and I agree with you. I like all of those things. The variety, I think, is what keeps people interested. Mm-hmm. But if you do the same thing over and over, people get burned out. They get bored. So you have to kind of mix it up a little bit. I'm okay with a Villain of the Week, but if you continue to do that throughout the whole series, throughout each season, people are going to stop watching because it's just the same thing.
Yeah.
So just variety. So, and you know what? Just, for the record, I really enjoyed Smallville. So they did that quite a bit on Smallville, but I still enjoyed it a lot.
All 10 seasons?
10 seasons. Okay, I haven't seen all of the last seasons.
Okay, yeah.
I still have them, though, and I can still watch them. But I will say that you can do both. I mean, at the same time, you can have a Villain of the Week but continue a storyline throughout. And kind of in the background, there's maybe like a bigger villain that lasts longer than just one episode. And Captain Cold is has great potential to do that.
Definitely. Well, and I mean, and even episodes like, you know, modern TV usually has two or three storylines going at the same time. So, you know, this one we had the Captain Cold storyline. We also had the Barry, Felicity, Barry Iris storyline. And then we also had even a little, a third storyline, which I would say was probably the Joe and Eddie storyline, which, can I just say, that scene of them talking in the car is hands down one of the funniest scenes I have seen on TV in a long time.
Eddie's grown on me a little bit. I didn't think I was going to like him much, but I'm liking him a little bit more.
The actor has loosened up a little bit, or maybe they've loosened the character up a little bit. He seemed to really like he had a stick up his butt the first couple episodes, but you know, now that we're actually getting some interaction with him and some other characters, it's, he's a nice enough guy, and I think that's what they're trying to set it up for. You know, he's a nice guy, and potentially there's a curveball coming with this, but we'll have to see.
That's right. So, well, thank you for all of the feedback and input. I really appreciate it. We both really appreciate it, and keep it coming. We'd love to hear from you. So
I appreciate it more.
You appreciate it more?
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, that's cold, man. That's cold. You're cold, Leonard. All right. So listen, Flash, as always, has a long list of references. So let's run those down while we still have a few minutes and see if we can get them all in.
All right. You want to take this first one here? Because, like, I had nothing on this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They're in the museum. And the tour guide, I guess, is taking people around, and she points out Bobby Bovine McFeely. Now, Bobby Bovine McFeely in the comics, I got nothing, man.
Yeah.
I looked. I wanted this name to be something so cool. I wanted this to be some, you know, cow superhero or something. But nothing. There was nothing. So that's technically not a reference. So I'll let you do the real references.
Okay. So the episode was called Going Rogue, which is a phrase about, you know, going solo, basically. But it's also a play using the word rogue, which is part of the Rogues Gallery. And Captain Cold appears to be forming that or will be forming that at some point here in the future. We got the reference to the Kandok Diamond, which is a Middle Eastern country in the DC universe that's shown up previously in the Arrow TV series. The security armored car that was transporting the diamond was run by Black Hawk Security, again, a security group that was shown in Arrow. And the Black Hawks were what were they? They were like a fighter squadron in World War II in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
We got the voice of this character Mick, but we haven't been introduced to him yet. But this character and the fact that he's going to be using the heat gun or the flamethrower, whatever it is that Leonard took from his salesman, this is going to turn into a character called Heatwave, who is basically the polar opposite of Captain Cold. You like that? That's good.
Polar or the equatorial opposite.
Oh, that would be good too. Barry mentions that Leonard is almost as bad a name as Bartholomew, which I found amusing since Bart, which is short for Bartholomew, Bart Allen II is Barry's grandson in the comics, also known as Impulse. Second show we do a podcast on that had a Star Wars reference this week. How cool was that?
Very cool.
They had Pride and Padawans, which were people dressed up in Star Wars gear coming out to CC Jitters to do trivia. We had a street reference of Forth and Collins, Scott Collins being a DC artist that has done some work on The Flash. The museum manager named Dexter Miles. In the comics, Dexter Miles is actually the curator of the Flash Museum, which is something that now I don't know if I can't remember if it's in the present day. Whenever I talk about the Flash Museum, I'm always thinking it's like in the future there is the Flash
future
Museum.
One, yeah.
But Miles is played by Bruce Harwood, who was in the show I was mentioning earlier, The X-Files. He played one of the lone gunmen, John Fitzgerald Byers. Boy, these just keep going, man. The host of the trivia night was Oswald Loomis, and he's better known as the Superman villain, the Prankster. It kind of even looked a little bit like him, too, with the glasses, and I think he had, like, a little mustache, too, if I'm not mistaken. The weapons dealer that gives Snart the cold gun and shows him the fire weapon is called Basil Nerblin, and in the comics, Nerblin is a minor Flash villain that's named Colonel Computron. He was the inventor of the Captain Computron toys and attacked his former employer after the toys were released.
Now, you think they're going to come back to him? You think he's really dead? Captain Computron could be the big villain in season two.
That could be a villain of the week. I don't know. I always go out on a limb and say that they're actually dead, but I'm not going to even comment on this one. Felicity is asking questions about Barry's power at one point at Star Labs, and she says, if he runs too fast, does he turn into dust in a red costume? Which sounds to me very much like a reference to Crisis on Infinite Earths when Barry ran so fast that he actually did kind of disintegrate, and all that was left was a costume with some red dust in it. We have our obligatory 52 reference, where they reference storage unit 52-3. Barry's talking to Felicity about trains and says that they are the safest form of travel, to which Felicity replies, I thought it was airplanes. Now, there's I think this might be a reference to Superman, the 1978 film, where Superman reminds Lois Lane, I think it was after the helicopter crash accident. He says, remember, flying is still statistically the safest form of travel. Also, when Barry's running away from the train while Felicity's watching out the window, I think that could also be a Superman reference, because there's the scene in the 1978 Superman where Lois Lane and her mother, played by the original Lois Lane, are looking out the window, and little Lois Lane sees Superman, Superboy, whatever, run by the train. And then there were some mugshots in the book of mugshots that Barry was looking through that are none of the names other than Leonard Snart appear to be any DC references, but they are some of the names of the crew on the show. So
yeah, that work on the show.
And I think that's it.
I have to do a whole references show.
Yeah, no kidding. We may have to do it as an appendix show or something like that.
Oh, there you go. So, well, I love that they're putting them in there. So it packs our show, packs our podcast, but it's also really, really fun to watch for and make connections to. So they are just loading them up. But because of all of those references, man, we are out of time. And Jay and I, we got to run.
But if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. We've gotten some great feedback there, and we love getting it, and we definitely read and take to heart the things that people say. You can also contact us, some of the people here that we were reading from, like O.C. Alexander. You can contact us at email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com, or you can tweet to us at Scarlet Velocity, or come to our Facebook page and check out the screen captures that we put up and all the other fun stuff there, like my Halloween costume, at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Hey, and you know, just because Flash is off for a week, that gives you a little extra time if you want to check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and you can get those at randomchatter.com. Plus, all shows, three of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you tell all your friends about us. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.